Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by my good friend Chris Castain in a different kind of location. I am currently in the music room of some elementary school in Salt Lake City, Utah. I have a friend who's a janitor, and he wanted to come play basketball, but the podcast life, it always beckons, so we are here in this space. I know that my Wi-Fi is a little bit shaky. It's because I'm using a Wi-Fi hotspot, Chris, so bear with me. It should clear up throughout the episode, but yeah, so hopefully that's the way things go down tonight here in this episode. But football's back. I'm very excited to talk about football. I'm excited to see where we're at with all these teams and get some football watching done Sunday. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm tired. I am deeply lacking putting off homework to do this, and there will be a reckoning tomorrow. That is certainly a thing. I'm very tired. My body is telling me to sleep. I've gotten a total of 9 hours over the past 2 days. Not a good thing. And then I have a study session tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. and I probably won't be home till midnight, and I'll have to be up at 7 tomorrow, so it'll be a whole thing. But you know, I'm okay. I can't complain. I think I'm coming down with a little bit of a cold. I occasionally have this hacking cough that comes at me, so that's not a good sign. But other than that, football's back, so I can't really complain. Yeah, well, I mean, football's back. Football cures literally everything. So, that's kind of where we're at right now. All right, let's start by breaking down Thursday Night Football. Eagles, Falcons. All right, but before I ask you for your thoughts, I want to put, like, a disclaimer on this. Like, I don't know what you think, Chris, but I think people are way too hard on teams in week one. What you have to realize is most of these players, especially this year, didn't even play in a preseason. So to expect like this masterpiece of what these teams are going to look like in like December is just an unrealistic expectation to have. So there are going to be some sloppy games like this week one. This just happened to be the night game, although I enjoyed it. It was gripping defensively. It was a pretty thrilling defensive matchup. But what was kind of your thought on the game?
I didn't like the game. I didn't really enjoy watching it that much. And not as much. But it was so sloppy. 26 flag penalty calls in the game. It was just honestly, it was not a good football game, in my opinion. Not just that. They missed the Julio Jones catch call. They missed another call that I thought in the first quarter on one of the Eagles receivers. I thought that was more questionable than the Julio catch, but apparently not. So they gave it to – they counted Julio's a drop, and you know exactly what I'm talking about too. Besides that, I think we were talking about it last night, and you were right about Matt Ryan. He's not played – he didn't play that well. He may be the problem. But and I'll kind of wait on this for a minute until you say what you think. I thought it was a sloppy game. Losing Keanu Neal for Atlanta, that was a huge loss. Just so big. I mean, not really a whole lot of other thoughts just because it's just game one, but those are some of my main thoughts.
Losing Keanu Neal for the year definitely hurts, but DeMonte Keanu, their depth, I believe that's how you say his name, Their second string safety played extremely well, I thought. So I'm not super worried about them at safety. Plus, there's still some good safeties out there on the market. They could trade for Earl Thomas. They could sign Eric Reed, who's still on the free agent market and a very good player, even though he has his thing with the national anthem protest. But the Falcons owner is pretty liberal, so I feel like there's maybe a fit there. I would say that I was really excited to watch Matt Ryan coming into the season, and that hope kind of faded in one night. He did not look good. I think it's one game, but I think it's fair to start asking questions, and I think it's fair to keep an eye on him throughout the entire season, because I think his performance is kind of going to be a storyline. One thing that you kind of said throughout the offseason that you thought was a storyline was the offensive line, and I don't know what you're talking about, dude. Like, the offensive line dominated. Yeah, you did. Back in March, you said the Falcons' offensive line was, quote, awful and needed to do a lot in free agency, and they didn't do anything, and they looked fine. Well, I remember you saying that.
If I said it, I don't know what I was talking about that day, but I don't remember saying that. Maybe I did, but I don't know.
Well, you have been concerned about the O-line, at least, on Twitter a few times, and
I've been a little concerned, but
I just don't understand the concern. I thought the Falcons looked like... Yeah. Your take is flipping rapidly here, but
we need to look back.
Okay.
Look
back to the free agency show, because there you say that the Falcons' O-line is a problem.
Do you remember? Did you look back?
Yeah, I did. I was listening to that show earlier in the off season.
How much they're getting hit for it, as far as the public. I think it's just game one. You got to give it a few games, not a few games, but a game or two. See what happens. I think all the penalties and stuff that'll kind of slow down. That won't be a problem come week two or three. It's just really it's got to be Matt Ryan's got to be better in the red zone. They missed out on both attempts to Julio Jones in the red zone. Second one, of course, costing them the game. I think they were the more talented team. I really believe that.
Yeah, this is a huge win for the Eagles. I had some serious doubts about them coming into the season, but if they can make it without Carson Wentz at like 500, and they can get back Carson Wentz back in October, and if they're like 2-2 or 3-2 or like 4-3 when Wentz comes back, like that's a really good sign. So this was a really important win for the Eagles to get, and they got it.
Yeah, this was a, I don't know if it was a good win as far as the way the game was played. It was a sloppy win because they had their own. They played sloppy themselves too. Touchdowns. One, but the Falcons lost three starters on that play. They didn't have Trufant, Neal, or Deion Jones, their top three defensive players. So, but that's why they scored the touchdown. But generally, both teams had their own flaws, but the Eagles came out on top. So it was a good, sloppy, bad calling, a bad refereed game.
Yeah, I was surprised that the helmet rule didn't get called once, but we still don't know what the catch was. And the whole thing was, we thought we knew what the catch was. And according to the NFL's rule, that was a catch because the rationale from the commentary booth was, oh, he didn't control it all the way to the ground. You no longer have to do that. You no longer have to, quote, survive the ground. You just have to come down with possession. And that Julio Jones clearly did that. And to call that no catch is, it really confused me because I thought I understood the rule better, but it just got more confusing somehow, some way. And I think any logical person would tell you that that was a catch because he never lost possession of the ball. So, I don't know. Like,
That was my problem. He didn't lose possession. It should have. It left more questions for the catch rule.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, that's the start of week one. Let's get into week one, and we're going to do a little bit of something different this year. We're going to do some themes. This week's theme is questions for each of these games. What's going to happen is we're going to throw out a question, then the other person's going to answer it, and then the person who put out the question is going to answer it. So, Chris, I'll let you start first. What's your question for Tennessee-Miami?
For this game, really, I would say I'm going to go with Miami, more of a quick. And for me, I wonder if the offense can start, if we're going to see signs of it returning back to the 2015 season form, where, you know, of course, they made the playoffs that season. I want to see if Ryan Tannehill can return back to playing the way he played that season. That's really what I'm watching for in this game.
I don't know if he can, and it's maybe not because the Dolphins' offense, I don't think it will necessarily be because of the Dolphins' offense. I think the Titans' defense is really underrated. They added Malcolm Butler. They added Rashawn Evans. They've got a decent front seven. Like, I think that the defense of Tennessee, Miami's offensive line is really underrated. But I feel like Tennessee's defense can kind of quiet down Ryan Tannehill, and I think that the Dolphins are going to have to lean on Kenyon Drake in this game and try to kind of expose the other side of a linebacking core, which does not have Rashawn Evans for the Titans. But I would say that I don't think we're going to get an answer to that question because I think the Titans. I'll let you answer it next, but I think that the Titans' defense is okay. So I don't think we're going to really get a fair answer to that question by the end of week one.
No, we won't. No, and then I was saying that I want to see if they – I think we'll be able to tell if they have some potential or not. I think we're not going to say, oh, yeah, they can return back be at the 2015 Dolphins, but we will be able to see if they can put some kind of start, a good sign together. That's really what I'm watching for.
Right. I would say that we're going to switch back and forth, so I don't really have a question for this game. So who are you taking here?
Close one.
What? We're not talking about that game.
What game are you talking about then?
Dolphins Titans.
Oh, you're still in the same game? Oh, I thought we were doing.
Oh, no. We got to pick the games, remember?
Okay, yeah.
We're still working out the kinks, too. We're in the early season.
Yeah, first time this way. That's a tough one.
All right, I'll take the Titans. I think that they get the win here. All right, Vikings, Niners, all right. I'll pose a question first to you. Can the 49ers defense get any pressure on Kirk Cousins?
I think they'll get some, but I think the Vikings offensive lines, like I said before, I'd still say it's a top 10 offensive line. It's very good, and I don't think San Francisco will get that much pressure on Kirk Cousins. I still think they'll get a sack or two, but it won't be. I don't think there'll be that much pressure. That's a good question.
I don't really know, because I think this could be the year that line that has so many like potential stars with the high draft picks they have breaks out, so maybe, but we just haven't seen it yet, you know. So I feel like that I don't think they're gonna get it. And the cornerback situation outside of Richard Sherman in San Francisco is kind of dismal, honestly. So I don't know. I don't think that they will get much pressure on Kirk Cousins, and I think that the Vikings win this game. I don't think it's going to be as much. What's up?
Let's go this way. How many sacks do you think the 49ers will have?
That's a bare prediction. Maybe like two. I think the Vikings win, but I think the score is going to surprise people. I think it's going to be a little bit tighter. I don't think it's going to be super high scoring. Again, it's the first week. Everyone's week working out their kinks, so I think it's going to be a little bit low scoring.
I do think it'll be surprisingly low scoring in a way. I mean, you know, the Vikings defense is very legit, but I'm going to take the – I was going to take Vikings, but I'm going to take the 49ers in a close one. I guess a score, I guess, be 23-17, something like that.
All right, that you're up asking me a question next.
Okay, let's see. This one's interesting. The 49ers or the Texans and Patriots. Wow, Texas Patriots. I want to. Really, my question is for the Patriots more than the Texans. What offensively is Tom Brady gonna be able to overcome what he's lost during the offseason as far as wide receivers? The offensive line's not as good, in my opinion. So do you think Tom Brady will be able to overcome the losses at the wide receiver position and the offensive line in a way?
Against this Texans team, yes, because for as good as the pass rush is, they really lack cornerbacks and safeties outside of Tyrann Mathieu, and we don't know how he's going to look coming off some injury-plagued seasons. I think the Patriots' defense offense is going to look a lot different in these years past. In these years past, they've gone with kind of deep threats like Brandon Cook and kind of stretched out the passing game. I think that changes and kind of goes back to their old style, where it's a bunch of short, quick kind of slant routes. Get the ball out of Brady's hands quick. Use the running backs a lot. They've got a ton of running backs they can throw the ball to who can be really good out of the backfield. So I think against other teams, yes. Against the Texans, Brady's going to be under pressure a lot, but I think that Belichick will find a way through kind of a quick passing game to avoid that.
That's why I have the Texans winning by double digits. I think they'll win by 10 points. So I just don't think that in this game against that defense.
So you agree with me that that it's not going to be too much of a challenge for the Patriots, and yet you have the Texans winning? Well, answer your own question here really quick. No, I don't think they will. I think that the cornerbacks are bad for the Texans. I don't think they can shut down the short passing and the things that are gonna get, and the linebackers blitzing and all that in general just opens up a lot of room for screenplays for the Patriots, and I think Bill Belichick can scheme versus a team with bad cornerbacks.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of disagree with you there, not with your general thought of they're not going to struggle. I think they're going to struggle a little bit. I just don't think the offensive line's as good this season, and the receivers Tom Brady's thrown to are not as good. You lost Brandon Cooks. You don't have Edelman for four games. Those are the two main ones, but I don't think in this game on Sunday that they're going to be able to play that well against the offensively against the Patriots. I guess the Texans probably my thoughts all through this game, but that's why I said earlier I'm going to take the Texans by 10 points. I'm going to say, and if I had to give a score, I guess I could say 27-17. Tom Brady's going to score. I mean, he's going to score a touchdown or two, but I don't think it's that offense is going to be as good as it has been in this game.
I can't pick against the Patriots in Gillette in week one coming off a Super Bowl loss and with everyone doubting them. I think they're inevitably going to put in a big performance. Maybe it's close, but I think it's much more likely that the Patriots win close than the Texans run away with it. So I'm going to go with the Patriots for this one. Moving on to our next game, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. I'm going to ask you this. Does this have the potential of being the upset of the week?
No, I don't think so. The only good thing going for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is they do have Ryan Fitzpatrick, which is can be a good backup quarterback some games. I would say overall he's a decent backup quarterback, because against the Saints, I don't think Jameis Winston could do it. I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick can do it, and I would say offensively that's really where it hurts them, and I just don't think they could. This is actually, if I had to rank 1-16 on the chance of this being an upset, this is like 16. Like, it's dead last. I would lock in New Orleans for a win.
I think that it has the potential to be, yes. I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick gives you a good shot. I think you're really underplaying how great the defense, especially the defensive line, is for Tampa Bay. Vita Vea, Gerald McCoy, who people have forgot is one of the best defensive tackles in the league. Plus, they add Jason Pierre-Paul. I think they could give the New Orleans line some struggles. That being said, I think the Saints win, but I think it's a lot closer than people think, and I think it's low scoring and kind of comes down to the end. But I think the Saints win barely, and they kind of survive a little bit of a scare from Tampa Bay.
I would say New Orleans wins by a touchdown. That's just for me. I think Tampa Bay will play better than some expect. I know this game has, like a touchdown and a half score, or a touchdown and a half. I think New Orleans is favored by 10 points. I'm not sure. I'm trying to look. But yeah, I would take New Orleans by touchdown just because if I didn't, they would Tampa Bay probably win the game. If I said New Orleans will win by 20 points, Tampa Bay will win the game. So I'm taking New Orleans by 7. Okay, New Orleans is favored by
10,
so yeah, I think that's fair, 7.
All right. You ask the next question.
It's my go. I'm not used to this yet. For me, this is more about the Giants. This is going to tell me more about the Giants, and we know the offense has improved from last season, but yeah, is it improved enough to where, even with Saquon Barkley's type of talent, that he's going to be able to get some good runs in? Maybe is there a chance he could get 100 yards in this game at all?
Is there a chance he gets 100 yards? I think there is a chance, but only because I think the Giants are going to feed him a lot, just because I think that they're not going to... Pat Shurmur seems to know that Eli has some weaknesses throwing the football, and I don't think he's going to try to throw it against a really great Jacksonville secondary. So I think he can get 100 yards purely based off the fact I think he's probably going to get 30 touches in this game. And if he somehow get, I doubt that he's going to average 1 yard per carry. So I think that he definitely has a shot at getting 100 yards. I'd say that I'd be pretty confident to say he ends up getting 100 yards.
I would say probably, but I don't think the Giants win. I think the Jaguars win a close one. The spread's 3 points. I would take them by 3. I think they win a close one.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's really close and low scoring. It's really going to come down to as I know it's a cliche, but it's going to come down to who turns the football over less. If Bortles can keep the interceptions down, then this should be a cakewalk for the Jaguars. And if Eli throws a bad pick or gives them bad field position, this game might be over quick. Because once the Jaguars get a lead, they don't usually let it go.
I'll say this about this game. I don't think there's only one touchdown in this game.
I think I agree with that.
I think that there's only one. I think the Jaguars scored the touchdown, of course, because if I have a pick in winning the game, I'll go say they're going to score the touchdown. But I think that's the only touchdown that's going to get scored.
All right. Cincinnati and Indianapolis. In that game, we both have the Jaguars. Cincinnati and Indianapolis. My question for you is, will Andrew Luck be able to have any success against what in the preseason and last year, really throughout the year, looked like a pretty good Bengals defense?
He'll have some success, I think, but it's hard to say. This is going to be another one of those low scoring games, I think. I think there's a little more scoring, but I think Andrew Luck, he's not going to throw for three interceptions, by no means would I say that, but I think it's between no success and much success. I think that offense is going to be average against the Bengals, just because I believe in the Bengals defense, but I think the Bengals offense is going to turn it over some, like they tend to do. So yeah, I'll say it's average, but if the score's higher than what it, or it says the Colts score more, then I wouldn't say that's great success, because I think the Bengals turn it over once or twice, I would say. It's kind of hard. This game's kind of hard to predict for me, just because I didn't really see the Bengals in the preseason, I'll be honest.
This game isn't at all hard to pick for me. I think the Bengals blow them out. I do think Andrew Luck's going to struggle, because the Bengals, they did a great job of getting pressure up the middle and on the sides throughout the preseason, and Andrew Luck's starting left tackle isn't practicing, so it doesn't look like Anthony Costanzo will be ready to go. I'd be kind of worried if I were a Colts fan, especially with Luck coming back off of injury. I think he's going to get hit a lot in this game. And while you think that the Bengals offense will turn over the ball, like, who's going to force the turnovers? This Colts defense literally has no one on it outside of Malik Hooker. Like, the Bengals are going to tear this team apart, and I'll say that the Bengals are my lock of the week, but I'll say they're a lock to win by more than three touchdowns. So I think they're going to tear this team apart.
I don't think it's going to be a blowout or nothing like that.
I think it's going to be a blowout.
I think it has the potential. I don't think the Colts win. By no means do I think they win. I don't. The defense isn't good enough, I don't think. But and when I said the turnovers for the Bengals, I'm thinking more of like the fumble or maybe an interception or something like that. The Bengals luck kind of just tells me that sometimes. I mean, and this is one of the times with the Bengals and Mark Lewis. I think they're overrated. They're overrated going into every season to me. But anyway, I'll take the Bengals by 7 points. I think they win the game, but I think it's going to be closer than the Portuguese thing. I think it's going to be closer than a lot of people. Like, I really do. But that was a good question. And now it's time for me to move on to my question. Or do we not want to ask a question because we have the Bell news?
I mean, Bell news is kind of old by now. He's not going to report, probably. I don't think he plays this year, to be honest with you, or at least not until like week 10 or week 12, and his teammates hate him. I don't see why. I think the Steelers are probably going to try to trade him. I would not be shocked at all if he gets moved like closer to the trade deadline between weeks 6 and 8. So yeah, that's kind of my take on Le'Veon Bell. Do you have a different one?
So high, but besides that, I don't think he plays at least through the first six games. But I do think with all the talk of everybody else talking about him, I saw the point Pouncey, I think, said he made 10 times more than what he makes, something like long lines of that, and he should come up to camp. I just don't think, with all the comments, and there's just more and more coming. I saw some the other day because me and you talked about it on the phone the other day, and I don't think he plays again as a Steeler. And that's why I say week 6, week 7, week 8, he's starting for another team. But I do have to say it's going to be hard for the Steelers to find a team that's going to pay him what he's worth, or maybe not what he's worth, but what he wants. It's going to be hard for the Steelers to find a team that's
going to
pay him.
I think a lot of people would pay him, to be honest with you. I think the Steelers are dumb not to pay him.
I don't know. I just don't know if there's that many other teams that will, because you think about the teams that have.
I mean, running backs are getting paid.
Maybe. But some of these other teams that have.
Seattle Seahawks, everyone has a ton of cap space. I think that's like one of these misnomers. Like, everyone in the NFL right now has a ton of cap space. Not even the Rams are in cap trouble right now, just because of how much the salary cap's going up. Like, the Rams, like, did you hear this? Like, the Rams were in talks with, like, the Raiders for Khalil Mack. They could have paid Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack. Like, that's insane just how much salary cap there is.
Yeah, I saw where they were going to, and the Rams probably would have gotten them if it had to been for Raiders thinking the Rams were going to pick lower than the Chicago Bears, which I would agree with that. That's fair, and that's a good evaluation for the other Raiders to do that. But back to this. I just don't know. There's a lot of teams that already have a back. I think the Cleveland Browns are a candidate. But the problem is that they're in the same division. I don't know if the Steelers would actually.
Yeah, they'd never do that.
They're top three players in the same division. I don't think it's impossible to think, but I think it wouldn't be very smart.
All right, Baltimore. Do you have a separate question for the game?
Starting running back for the Steelers is gonna have a. Is it gonna make? Is it a game? I don't know if it's really the game necessarily, but general, this is just a general question. Do you think James Conner is going to be able to
pick
up even half the workload?
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's looked excellent in the preseason. I think that James Conner last year in the regular season and the limited touches he got, like, he is a really good running back, and I think people are about to see that this year. I think that Pittsburgh will be fine moving on from Bell because I think they've found his replacement in James Conner. I think he's that good.
I think he'll pick up some of the workload, but I don't think he's like on Bell. I don't think that makes a difference in this game. I think Pittsburgh, I'm not sold on the Browns. It's just hard to get sold on a coach that's 1-31. Even with the talent that he has, it's just hard for me. So I'm going to take the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to say it's not going to be high scoring. I'm going to say 24-20.
I am not sold on the Browns either, but I think the Steelers are going to struggle in this game. And my upset of the week, we're not doing these, but I'd say if I had to pick an upset of the week, I'm taking the Browns. I think it's low scoring, but I think the Browns end up winning 17-10.
We'll talk later about the other game they play, but I'm taking the Steelers. But I could definitely see, with the as talented as the Browns defense is, I could see them winning this game.
All right. Buffalo and Baltimore. My question for you is, here's my question. How close is this game?
I don't think Buffalo's, even their defense is legit, yeah, but they've lost pieces. And offensively, I don't need to talk about that. I don't need to talk about Nathan Peterman. I think he's not as bad as his game last season, throwing five interceptions, but he's not. I don't know if he's a starting NFL quarterback yet. That's why I'm going to take Baltimore by 14. But I could see it being the blowout of the week. I could.
I don't know. That, by the way, that's a hell of a flip by you, from being the number one Buffalo defender to admitting that they have no talent on offense. They have no talent on offense, but LaShawn McCoy is slated to play in this game, and it doesn't seem like he's going to get suspended, and doesn't seem like he's going to get put on the commissioner's exempt list. I mean, I don't think it's going to be super close, but I don't think it'll be a blowout. I think Baltimore wins by between 7 and 13 points, and I don't think it's two touchdowns. I think it's more field goals. So, I don't know. I think this game could be tight, but I think the Baltimore Ravens win it pretty easily.
I agree there.
I'm also interested to see how Tyrod Taylor plays, because this Baltimore linebacking core is really, 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 really good. And even though Jimmy Smith's out, they've still got some decent corners. So, it'll be interesting to see how short a leash Nathan Peterman has. If he threw like two interceptions in the first half and they were down by a lot, I could honestly see them bringing in Josh Allen in this game.
It's hot. Yeah, I would agree with you. It's definitely possible. Peterman is probably on a short leash to have a better term in this game or in this really this season. I think he's on a very let's move on to the next game, Kansas City at the Los Angeles Chargers. For me, here we've had a few we've had a few Chargers injuries throughout the offseason. I don't think any of them are that major. Maybe you disagree. Maybe you talk about that for a second when it's your turn, but or when you're answering the question. But how – where – in this game, I don't really – a hard come up with a question for me here, but where are you at with – I guess I'll go Kansas City because I think this is less obvious. Where are you at with this Kansas City offense and Patrick Mahomes going against this Chargers defense?
I have no clue. I don't have an answer for that question. And I kind of said this earlier in my preseason. There are about three teams, the Bears, the Lions, and the Chiefs, that I'm not really going to know where they are until about week three, I don't think. Because we just didn't see a whole lot, especially... not the Lions. I'm super high on the Lions. The Rams is the other one. Just because we saw nothing in the preseason from really any of these teams, they kept it pretty tight to the chest. I think that Kansas City is going to surprise some people in this game and keep it kind of close. Joey Bosa's out for this game with a foot injury. He should be back week two, but Joey Bosa's out. So that's not a super great sign for the Chargers. But still, they have guys like Nwosu, Melvin Ingram. I don't think it's going to hurt them a lot. I think this game is going to be a lot higher scoring than people think. I think it's going to be a shootout. And I think that the Chargers, they always kind of struggle a little bit early. I think Kansas City wins this game and really kind of surprises some people. But I think Kansas City's year is just going to be really up and down. I see them kind of as an 8-8 team that's really fun to watch every week and that never really gets blown out. So I think this game is going to be incredibly tight, incredibly high scoring. But I think I'm going to take the Chiefs.
I'm going to take the Chargers just because I don't know about the Chiefs. There's just, for me, too many question marks. For me, this is actually just one of my betting things. So if I were to bet, if I'm betting against or on the Kansas City offense, and just based off the questions on that offense, I'm betting against them. That's why I'm taking the Chargers. But they may perform well next week or two, and I may flip, and I may be able to say one way or another for sure, but I can't today. And that's why I'm taking Chargers in a close one. I'll say Chargers by 7.
Two intriguing running backs in this next game. So I want to ask you, out of Washington and Arizona, who do we come out more impressed by at the end of this game? And it doesn't have to necessarily be the running back of a winning team. Do we come out more impressed by Adrian Peterson or more impressed by David Johnson?
So we're doing running back, not whole team?
Just running back.
I'm going to say Adrian Peterson, but I don't think it should be. Now, when I say that, I don't think Arizona's – the secondary of Arizona is pretty – it's legit, but I don't think Arizona's defensive line is that great.
Oh, their defensive line had the sack leader last year and Roberto Kimdiche, who looked pretty good in the preseason.
Yeah, but it's not
– they got a great defensive line.
Arizona's not really one of the teams that I actually pay full attention to, so I'll give you credit there. May not be fully knowledgeable on the Cardinals, but anyway, I think Adrian Peterson will have a high. I think he'll have probably 100 something yards, and he'll impress people. But it's just going to be right. I think it's a temporary thing, very temporary for Adrian Peterson. And the expectations for David Johnson are so high that I believe that we're going to be more impressed with Adrian Peterson.
I'd agree with almost everything you said about why we're going to be more impressed with Adrian Peterson, except you think the fact that he's going to struggle this year. I think Adrian Peterson's going to have an awesome year. I think he really is, and I think he's going to change how people think about aging running backs, because he looked absolutely great in the preseason and really in the regular season last year with the Cardinals when he was healthy. So I think that Adrian Peterson's really going to impress this game and almost every game this season. But I'm going to take Washington in this one. I think this one's going to be tight, but low scoring-ish. Let's put out a score here. I'll say Washington wins 23-17.
I just don't think it could beat that big of a blowout, especially when you have Sam. You still have Sam Darnold on starting, and I just don't think this could possibly be a blowout. I'm actually going to take the upset here. I'm going to take Cardinals by 3.
All right.
By no means a lot, though. So we're going back to me, and I got to get used to that when we do this. Between the Cardinals or the Carolina Panthers and the Dallas Cowboys. Question about defenses here. Both defenses have weak spots, very weak spots. I think we both agree there. So out of the two defenses, which one do you think comes out on top and we say is the better defense on Sunday?
My opinion of the Dallas defense has shifted immeasurably throughout the preseason, just because I think you can tell a lot off defensive play in the preseason. Randy Gregory's a beast, and he's not going to be suspended this year. DeMarcus Lawrence is coming back. Sean Lee looks absolutely fantastic, as he always does at linebacker. And then you have Jalen Smith, who they think is going to start over Leighton Vander Esch, who's an awesome linebacker as well. The front seven for the Dallas Cowboys is the best front seven they've had probably in the last 10 years. And I think we're going to come out really surprised at how much they control the line of scrimmage in this game, because Carolina's offensive line is a little bit weak. So is Dallas's, actually, because Travis Frederick's going to be out this game. We don't know. Oh, what's their last left tackle's name? Dallas's left tackle is who? We talked about him a ton last year. Chris?
You're talking about Tyron Smith.
Yeah, Tyron Smith. Tyron Smith's not slated to play in this game. It's going to be an interesting line for both these teams. I think Dallas's line is really going to struggle this year, and our opinion of them is going to change a lot. But I think Dallas comes out as the more impressive defense. I think this game's low scoring, but I think Dallas ends up winning it.
I'm about to take Dallas barely, just because really here for me is I think the Cowboys do have a better defense. I think Carolina's secondary is one of the worst. It's not that, I mean, it's got some question marks there. But for the Cowboys, defensive-wise, what you said is legit. But I think their secondary, that's the question, their secondary a little bit. That's really why I asked the question. But I'm going to take the Cowboys barely. I'm going to say about 4 points.
I'll add, I question the Panthers secondary as much as I do the Dallas secondary, because the Panthers secondary is very confusing and not full of as much as the Dallas defense. I think the secondaries are equal in how bad they are in this game.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
All right, I really don't have a question for Denver-Seattle, just because It's kind of my team, and I'm getting a little bit hyped up for this game. So will you throw me a question for this one?
Yeah, but I'm going to go Seattle. I think there's more questions about Seattle. We talked about the last season that the offensive line was improved when they made that trade in the middle of the season. We thought, oh, they're Super Bowl, and they're not. Do you think that Russell Wilson's going to have as many problems in this game? I do think Denver's defensive line is very legit. Do you think that they're going to, on I'll go one, the scale of 1 to 10, what do you think, how bad do you think the Seattle offensive line struggles against that Denver front?
10 the worst?
10 the worst, 1 to 10.
I think probably about an 8. I think that the Denver defense is going to really come out hungry, especially at home. I think this is going to be a really low-scoring game for both sides. And I think Denver's defense is going to dominate from start to finish. So I really think that Bradley Chubb's going to – he played so well in the preseason and flew under the radar nationally throughout the preseason. But I think he's going to have a coming out party in this game and just totally wreck the Seattle offensive line. I'm very, very confident about this game for the Broncos going into it, which is weird because I'm usually not very confident about a Broncos game. But – I think the Broncos have got this in the bag. I think it's going to be tight, but I think it's going to be low scoring. And I honestly think there are probably 2 offensive touchdowns scored total in this game. But I love the Broncos defense up front, especially. And you can make an argument that the secondary is weak. But outside of Doug Baldwin, who do you have to shut down if you're the Broncos? No one. The Seattle lost all their depth at wide receiver. I think the Denver Broncos defense is going to destroy the Seattle offense. That's going to be the difference in this game, and I think the Broncos win it. And I'll give a score on this one. I think the Broncos win it in tight fashion, 16-7, with 3 field goals and a touchdown.
If I had to scale out, I'd probably say 7-8, something like that. I agree there. I think this, I actually have the exact score line too. I think it's going to be 13-3 Denver. I just don't think Seattle just doesn't have enough talent offensively to score against this Denver defense. I don't think so. Touchdowns at least. Denver scores the only touchdown. I agree there. I'm taking Denver.
All right. Chicago Green Bay. This is such an open-ended question because there are so many, I think. What player are you most excited to watch in this game?
Oh, wow. I actually have 3 or 4.
Go with your number 1.
I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers and then Khalil Mack right there. There's a few others. Keep that in mind. But I want to see what happens his first game off that injury, regular season, of course. He played in the preseason, I think, on drive. But I'm excited to see what happens against that strong Chicago front. I think he's going to get sacked. I think he's going to get hit a few times. I think Khalil Mack gets 1 or 2 sacks. So I'm interested to see what this offensive line does against that Chicago front and how Aaron Rodgers reacts to the hits that he will get. His offensive line is not the best. We know he doesn't have the best pieces around him. He has better pieces than he has in the past few years, adding Jimmy Graham and such. But I'm very excited to see, interested to see what happens there. But there's many more players to be interested about. There's a lot of players that you can be interested to see.
Yeah, for me, it's Mitchell Trubisky. I like the idea of seeing Khalil Mack play, but I am really excited to see you. I think Matt Nagy hid the playbook in the preseason, and I think that the Bears are really going to come out and maybe throw some interesting offensive looks at a kind of Packers defense that we're not sure if they're good yet or not. So I think that this game is going to be extremely tight. Before the Khalil Mack trade, I thought the Packers had this because it's in Lambeau, but I'm going to go with the Bears in this game. I know that's kind of an upset pick, and you never want to pick against Aaron Rodgers in Lambeau, but I'm going with the Bears here. What about you?
Extremely interesting game. I'm going to take the Bears by safety. 2 points.
All right. Finally, two last games, New York Jets, Detroit Lions. I'll ask you this. Sam Darnold, give me his stat line. Yards, touchdowns, interceptions.
Okay, I think he has, I'm going to go 179 yards. Kind of odd yardage, but I think he throws a touchdown and two interceptions.
I almost have the same. I think I'll probably go 197 just because the Lions' secondary is weak. And I'll go two touchdowns, one interception. I think that the Lions still win this game by two touchdowns, but I think the Jets keep it competitive till the fourth quarter.
The Jets have pretty much always, or the past season or so, been very competitive in these type of games. There's some question marks. I don't know about the Lions. I really don't. There's a lot of questions for me there. You're talking about your top three question teams. The Lions are probably one of mine. If they're not top three, they're top five on that list. But I'm going to take the Detroit Lions, but I think it's going to be closer than many would think. I'm thinking three. I'll go 6 points in favor of Detroit.
They'll do it. All right, Oakland and the Los Angeles Rams. Let's just pick this one to finish it up. I'm going to go a little bit of an upset and a surprise. I think the Raiders win this game. I think it takes a little bit for the Rams to get rolling this year. They've got a really easy week two matchup against the Cardinals. I think that's where things kind of come together for them. But I'm going to take the Raiders in this one.
I'm going to take the Rams by, I'm going to go a weird point line, but I'm thinking 9 points. I'm going to take the Rams by nine. The Raiders are probably another one of those teams that there's so many question marks. They're not necessarily talent question marks, but coaching question marks. I'm not sure what's going to happen, so I'm going to take the Rams, but it'll be semi-close.
All right. That concludes our first week one preview. We did it. We will be back Tuesday. Maybe Chris won't be here, but we'll definitely have a show out Tuesday or Wednesday. And it should be a good time recapping week one. To finish it off, I have my friend Aramis here. He's a Seahawks fan. What do you think the final score of the Seahawks-Broncos game is going to be? I said 16-7 Broncos.
16-7. You think they can score that much?
I think Broncos can score 16 points, yeah.
Oh, the Broncos?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to have to say it's going to be like maybe like 7-3 Seahawks. I think Russell Wilson going to get lucky, but he's also going to get sacked by a homeboy, Von Miller. He's going to put him in the coffin, man. It's not going to be pretty, dog.
Yeah. Well, you heard it here first. Quote, it's not going to be pretty, dog. All right. Thanks, guys, for listening. Chris, thanks for joining us. Truth in All Pod, back next week.
Pod being 6 foot 3
supposed to be. Yep. Awesome. Cool. Keep an eye out for that at Truth in All Pod on Twitter. Follow us on Twitter at Enzo Pod. Enjoy football weekend, folks. Peace out.
Mwah.